our very own Pastor Ide.
I just want to start by just thanking Noel for his presiding, because sometimes I have a message and then I just feel like, oh, God's grace is upon this one. But this time I was like, oh, like, you know, in preparation, I was like, there's so many things I want to fit into this sermon. Is this from the Lord? And I was praying. And I did feel like this message is from the Lord. But then in his presiding, something he said kind of confirmed it for me. So I just want to thank the Lord for Noel and just for him. Even as he's presiding, he's diligently preparing, hearing the Lord, and obeying the Lord. So I just want to thank our presider, Noel, for just his obedience to the Lord. So today's message is called Tools for the Task. And it's going to be from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And the theme that I want to lay out is that we all need God's tools to fulfill our calling for the body of Christ. I'll say it one more time. So we all need God's tools to fulfill our calling for the body of Christ. So it's like we're all being built up in the Lord, but the purpose is so that his body comes together in unity and in love. So I wanted to start off with a story. It's something that I asked Elliot that if I could share, and it's a joke that he had. But there's a purpose to this joke, okay? So, you know, there was a season where Amy's brother-in-law Tim, he just loves sharing these dad jokes, okay? So we were just going around sharing like silly dad jokes, and he just has a whole bunch of them, right? So I don't have that many, so I would look them up on the internet and I would share. And one that came to mind is there was a dad with twin boys, right? One's named Juan, and the other one's named Amal, right? And so he would just, you know, carry his phone with him, and then he was at work one day. His coworker's looking through his phone. He's like, "Why do you only have pictures of one of your kids?" And he goes, "Well, if you've seen Juan, you've seen Amal, right?" So, anyways, sorry. Ooh, that was rough. So we were going around telling dad jokes at the table, you know. So Elliot's cousin Callie had some. She has like a joke book that she was sharing. Tim was sharing more of his jokes, and then we were each going around the table just sharing whatever jokes we knew. And Elliot, I could see him in the corner of my eye. He's sitting there and he's just deep in thought. And then after we did this for maybe like 10 minutes, he goes, "I have a joke." And then we're like, "Oh, okay." And he goes, "What's the bag's favorite thing to do?" And we're like thinking, we're like, "I don't know what." He said, "Carry stuff." And we're like, and we just busted out laughing because it was just out of the blue. It was so silly. And he really thought super hard to come up with this joke, right? And so, you know, as I was thinking about this joke more, I know I'm getting a little too deep about this joke, but I was like, why would a bag's favorite thing to do be to carry stuff? And it's because that's what it was made to do, right? The bag was made to carry stuff, and that's why I love doing it. And so I'm just going to extend that further, that each and every one of us who are made in the image of God, you know, are in his kingdom, we were made for him, for a purpose, right? And ultimately, yes, we were made to love God. We were made to be in connection with God. But at the same time, we were made to fulfill a calling, okay? So I'm going to read from Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we are all created for a purpose. We're all created for a reason. And it's ultimately that we want to become more like in the image of Christ, but it's also so that we could be part of building up the body of Christ. So we each play a role. We each have a part to play. And one of the things, as we were worshiping, one of the things that I want to just get out of the way is that I think some of us have come to believe this lie that we are not important to the body of Christ, that we were just kind of coasting through this. And maybe we attend church, maybe we've been going to church for many years, but we just feel like I'm really not that important when it comes down to it. Like we look at certain people, you know, in our churches and people with big ministries, and we're like, "Oh, that person I know is important to the body of Christ, but me, not so much." So what I want to do now is just really quick, just expose that lie, break off that lie, So if any of you have been feeling that, you know in your heart that maybe you do believe that, you know, I'm really not that important to the overall body of Christ. And we're just going to expose that lie. That is a lie. That is a lie. So, Lord, we just declare, Lord, that each and every person, Lord, that you've created is created specially, Lord, with a purpose and are important to you, God. So we just break off any lie that says that we are not important to you in the name of Jesus. We break that off in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, which is the main passage for my message today. And we're going to go through this. If Linda, you could put it up. Thank you. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. So as a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul writing, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So we've all received a calling from the Lord. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So again, just to put a pin in it, we have all been created with a purpose. We have a calling that we have received from the Lord. And this calling fits in with the overall body of Christ. So each and every one of us may not have the same, we most likely don't have the same calling, right? We don't all have the same gifts. But what Paul is saying here is that while we have been each given a gift, it's meant to be looked at in the context of the overall body of Christ. We all are part of the body. There's another passage in 1 Corinthians where it talks about, you know, we are one body. Not everyone can be a hand. Not everyone can be a foot. And we can't look on one another and look down on one another because, you know, not everyone can be the same body part or else it just wouldn't be a body, right? Like there's, I'm just going to single out Pastor John because he's not here. But I look up to Pastor John. I respect Pastor John. I see so many gifts in Pastor John. But if everyone was Pastor John, we wouldn't function very well. You know, we would all just have the same gifts, right? But also the same weaknesses. So each and every one of us is called by God. You know, we are saved by the Lord and we've become a part of his body. And we each have been given special gifts, special callings to cover one another, to complement one another for the building up of his church. I'm going to keep reading. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So again, this amount of grace has been given to each and every one of us according to his will, according to his purpose. And he's given each one of us gifts. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Why? To equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, there was a lot in that sentence. I'm going to read it again. So he gives us the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until what? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we know that we exist here to give God glory. We live for him. We want to see him high and lifted up and glorified. But I'll submit, how is he glorified? Is he going to be glorified if his church is not doing well? Is he going to be glorified if the body of Christ is stumbling and falling and just messing up and not living out the way that we should? I would submit no, right? So as we come together in Christ, as we're being built up into the image of Christ individually, at the same time, we want to see the whole body of Christ come into its calling, the church, right? And so, you know, we each go through seasons. You know, some of us are doing, will be doing well while others are struggling, but that's the moment where we come and we use the gifts that God's given us to cover one another, to pray for one another, to build one another up, right? As this happens, we are becoming more more in unity, more in representing God well through love. You know, it says that through the love we have for one another, the world would know that you are mine, right? So this is what Paul's getting at here. We're being built up as a church. And then it goes on further. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow, become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So here we see, as the church is being built up, we will not so easily be shaken. We will not so easily be shaken by the things of this world. And if we even look at the culture right now, we look at the things going on in this world, if we are not being built up, we're going to be blown here, we're going to be blown there with every new opinion, with every new culturally popular thought out there. But we are called to stand firm. We're called to stand firm in the truth and in love. And as we're being built up, this is what's happening. We are being more built into the image of Christ, strong and standing on this rock. And as each person, as each part does its work, is how this part ends. So as each one of us is living out the calling that we've been given, this is how it's going to happen. As each one of us lives out what God has called us to do in the season, but also, you know, in throughout our lives. Because there's callings for a season, but there's a calling, you know, a long-term calling that we're given. So as we begin to live this out, this is how it's going to play out, right? So one question to ask right now is, what is our calling? What is your individual calling? What is the calling of the body you're a part of? In this case, Rock Church. What is our calling as a church? And what is God speaking to the overall body of Christ, right? So these are all things that we begin to ask ourselves now. And as we see, you know, like I said, we each have different gifts. We each have different anointings. We each have different callings. But we are called to also love and honor one another's callings. We're also called to love and champion one another in their callings, right? And I've seen this. I've seen this as a part of our church, right? Where, like, person may not have the same calling as me, but they're cheering me on as I dream and plan about evangelizing and reaching out to people. They are cheering me on. They're encouraging me. They're championing me. And that's what we're called to do. We champion one another in the callings and gifts that each person has. And this is how we are called to come together. Now, we are being built up not to make ourselves famous, right? It's not like we want a big name. We want a big ministry for the sake of being famous and popular and the one that everyone wants to look to get prayer. The purpose is not for ourselves, for our glory, but the purpose is for the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, to glorify his name, not to bring attention on ourselves, right? So there's this dream that I had that I want to share. It was very early on in my walk with God. I want to say within the first year of accepting Christ. It was 2010. And, you know, I was sleeping in my room. And in the dream, I could see my body, like, in the exact same position that I was lying in. You know, but the surrounding area was white. Like, it was just bright. But I could see my body. I'm like hovering over my body, looking at my body. Like, kind of, I was like lying on the side. And then, okay. And then I hear a voice from above me. And I couldn't see the voice above me because I was looking down at myself. And it was simply a voice saying, "Do you want the tools?" And I was like, it was a voice that was strong. It was a little bit, it was, it was loving, but it was strong, and I know it was the Lord. And I froze. I didn't answer. I just kind of looked at myself, and I'm like, oh. Because I had a feeling that if I said yes, then something would happen. So I just kind of, I just froze, right? So again, do you want the tools? And I just said yes. And then I felt in the physical something kind of go inside me. And I woke up. And that is something that I haven't really shared much, but it's just something that was highlighted within the past few weeks, especially as I was preparing for this sermon. And I think it's a question that the Lord asks each and every one of us. So what are these tools that he was asking me if I wanted? And as I was praying, I was thinking, I was like, yeah, there's spiritual gifts, but I didn't think it was just spiritual gifts. I think there's more to it. So I'm going to talk about three things. One is anointing. One is gifts. And the other one is, I'm just going to call it experience. So I'm going to touch upon each and every one of those three. So I'll start with anointing. Anointing, the Hebrew term mashak meant to anoint or to smear with oil. So in the Old Testament, when prophets or priests or kings were anointed, they would pour out oil upon them, and then it would be a symbol of what was going on in the spiritual. So even though the physical, the anointing was happening with little oil, it was meant to represent something that God was doing in the spiritual over that person. And it was to represent the empowerment and the protection of the Spirit of God upon that person. So God's anointing, when it comes upon a person, it empowers them. It gives them something that they could not do in the flesh is being done by the Spirit of God. So the anointing is literally God on flesh doing what flesh can't do. It's the super added to the natural. It's a super of God added to the natural of ourselves. And so when we receive an anointing, when we receive a calling of God, sometimes we feel that we are just ready to run and do it, right? So I'm sure, you know, being at our church, all of you have received the prophetic word. You've gotten prayer, and then someone has spoken something over your life, or maybe even in your own prayer, God has spoken to you about something that you're called to do. And if you haven't received that, just keep praying and asking for the calling. You know, keep receiving prayer, and God will speak. Because again, each and every one of us has been given a calling, a purpose. So sometimes we feel like we get this calling and we're like, I'm ready to run now. Like God said, I'm going to be an evangelist, so I'm going to go and just run and do it. But I want to take a moment and just look at David. Okay, King David, he was anointed as a shepherd boy. You know, he was called out, and then they anointed him as king. You're going to be the king of Israel. And he was 17 at the time. But he didn't just go ahead and say, oh, I've been anointed by Samuel, I'm the king, and Saul, I'm taking your throne because I've been anointed. He didn't do that. So at 17, he received the anointing. He didn't actually step into that calling of being king over the whole nation until he was 37. That's 20 years where he knew that he had been anointed king, but he did not step into it until he was 20. Now, what happened in the meantime? Right? He was bringing lunch for his brothers on the battlefield. He was singing worship songs over Saul to rid him of the torture that he was going through. He was running and hiding from Saul, you know, hiding in caves and going from here to there. Now, why? Why didn't he just step into that role as king right when he was anointed at 17? And I'll submit that God was preparing him still, right? You've been anointed for this calling of to be king over my nation, but you're not ready yet. It's not time yet. And in those moments where he was, you know, bringing lunch for his brothers and you know, playing worship and even the times where he was running and hiding from Saul for fear of being killed, there were things that the Lord was preparing for him, teaching him, right? So when he was running and hiding, he was relying on the kindness of people, you know, to provide food for him, to keep his men fed and taken care of. He was learning humility. He was learning that he was learning what it meant to be pursued for something unjust. So when he stepped into his role as king, he would not go around and do the same thing. He wouldn't just act and rule unjustly, because he has experienced what it's like to be on the other side of being treated unjustly, right? And all those times that he was still being in preparation, all those lessons were being in preparation for him to be king, learning, because he grew up, you know, in the fields with sheep, tending sheep and animals. He had to learn what it meant to be in around royalty, around generals, around people in the military, and those lessons when he was just around, those are things that he picked up, so that when he did step into his role, he was ready. So in the same way, when we receive our calling, when we receive this anointing to do something, to do X, there is still a preparation that God is doing, right? So for me, you know, I've gotten words, you know, being evangelism was going to be big for me, and I had a heart for the lost, so I'm like, yeah, that resonates, that makes sense. And I remember going to work at USAID downtown, and I went in with guns blazing, right? I was just like, okay, I'm going to share the gospel like every day. I'm going to witness. I'm going to do this and that. And I just went in like guns blazing. And spiritually, I got really beat up. Like, it was just rough, really rough. I was so discouraged. I wanted to quit. I had only been there less than a year, and I wanted to leave USAID. And I just felt like, looking back, I went in very gung-ho, very out of my own zeal, my own passion, without relying on the Lord, without asking the Lord, what is my assignment for this moment, right? So there's a preparation that needed to happen. I needed to just rest in the Lord, rely on the Lord, and the Lord began opening up doors for me to share the gospel, to actually lead a Bible study at work, and help draw people to Christ. And it wasn't until I learned that lesson where I'm like, oh, like, I really got to rely and lean on the Lord. And even though it's my calling, I need to continue to lean in on the Lord. And that's a lesson that I learned. For us, I also feel like, you know, there is a preparation that's happening for each and every one of us. We all have been given a calling. We've all been called for a purpose, and some of us are still discovering what that is, but some of us already know what that is, and we're being prepared for that. And we want to be in step with the Spirit of God. We want to just be in step with what God has called us to do in this very season. We may have big dreams that God has given us, yes, but we are to walk with Him continuously. Now, this term anointed also shows up in the New Testament, of course. We see in Luke 4:18, it says, this is Jesus, as he gets up to read the scroll from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus is the Anointed One. So the Jesus and the Christ is for the anointed one that God has called. That's the calling on his life, is to proclaim freedom for the captives, to set the oppressed free. This is why he came, right? To do these things, ultimately to die for our sins on the cross. Yes. And if you see that, if you look at Jesus' life, he continued to walk with his Father. He continued to be in communion with him. He continued to be obedient to his Father. And he walked in this anointing that was given to him when he was came out of the desert place. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and then he began to do his ministry. So prior to that, before he was baptized in the Jordan with John the Baptist, he had not done the miracles yet. But once the Spirit of God came upon him, that anointing was there. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was there for him to move and in the ministry that he was called to, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, ultimately to die for our sins on the cross. And he stayed in communion with the Father. And this is an example for us. As we walk with God, we have to stay in communion with him to see, what is God's assignment for me now? Like, what is he saying? What is he telling me to do? And once he died on the cross for us, you know, he was risen on the third day, He stayed for 40 days teaching his disciples, and he was ascended into heaven. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out. Right? The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is upon each and every one of us who calls on the name of the Lord. Right? So there is this general anointing that we all have already. The Spirit of God is in us, and we have this role, just like the priests in the Old Testament did. We have this calling as a royal priesthood in Christ. We are called to commune with him, to intercede with him, and to take the role of that priest. We are also royalty. Like the kings were anointed, we also have this general anointing that has been given to us as followers of Christ. But I'll submit that we also can have special anointings. Like, I just know, for me, from experience, when I go on mission trips, like, I just feel like there's extra grace to minister when I'm out in the field, right? Almost like, I don't think of myself as very, like, prophetic and all that stuff, but when I was in Thailand, I just felt like the things that I was saying were really on point, right? And I was like, wow, I surprised myself, right? So, you know, it's almost a special anointing to do what God has called you to do in that moment, in that season. And I think there's a special anointing that comes upon us as we are called to minister. Yeah, have you ever had a moment where maybe God will say, hey, go pray for that person, right? And so if you obey, if you follow that voice, that anointing comes upon you. Because we can't heal anybody, right? We can't heal anybody on our own. But when God's like, hey, go pray for that person, I want to heal them, and you obey, that anointing is on you. You pray, and that person gets healed. Right? So there's that anointing. That kind of anointing can be temporary. It can be for a season, or it can be for a moment in your obedience. The second thing I want to mention is the gifts of the Spirit. So if Linda, you could put on 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. So again, the point here is like, I don't believe this is an exhaustive list of every gift of the Spirit, but the point he's making is that one is for the common good. So the gifts that God gives us is for the common good of the body of Christ, right? And also, another point is that it's from the same Spirit. So the same Spirit gives one, the gift of healing. One, the gift of prophecy. One, the gift of tongues. Another, interpretation of tongues. But the purpose of these gifts is to build up the body for the common good, right? To be built up in the image of Christ so that we can actually, as a church, be built up and made and shine and represent him well and bring glory to his name. So this is another piece of these tools that God gives us. And again, we have to honor one another's gifts, right? Like a gift that I may have, someone else may not have, but I can't look down on that person and say, oh, that person's not as gifted as me. I can't, that would be totally wrong, because I should want the whole body to be built up, and I should honor the other person's gift and what they bring to the body. Because it's the same Spirit. So it's almost like the Spirit is the one who gave me my gift. The Spirit is the one who gave that person their gift. Right, and while we each play a role in our own intimacy with God, right? So there's things that we can do individually in our prayer closet, in our Bible readings, that we can be built up ourselves. right? But we're all in a different place in our walk with God, right? We're all in a different place. But we can encourage one another. We can help one another. We can honor one another, right? And the purpose of my intimacy with God is not to build myself up. It's one, yeah, definitely to fall more in love with the Lord, to draw closer to this one that has saved my soul. But with these things that God has poured out into myself, I use to bless the body. And that's how we need to think. And the last one doesn't seem so spiritual, but I believe it's part of it. And I call it experience, but there's certain things that we can only learn through, I believe, our experiences. Right? If you guys heard my testimony, there were so many years that I went through that I felt were so difficult. Like, why did I have to go through that? And the Lord spoke very clearly to me. He said, simply, I can use all that. I can use what you went through, right? And as I look back, okay. So part of my story is that I had, you know, suffered with mental illness, you know, OCD, depression. I was on pills, medication, and seeing therapists and psychologists throughout my 20s, right? And I've seen it where I can talk to someone going through the same thing, and one, I don't look at them weird. I don't look at them strange for taking medication or going to see psychologist. I've been there. I can relate. I can have a compassion because I have been in their shoes, right? And for us, as we walk with the Lord, we will go through hard times. It happens, you know. But if we can overcome with God, with Christ, we can. Those are things that God can use as tools as well. You'll become a tool that he can use to minister to someone who's going through the exact same thing or similar that you went through, right? So there's experience. Romans 5, 3 through 5 talks about how we can also glory in our sufferings, right? Because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance leads to character, and character, hope. And it's like this theme where, like, I have overcome something and I can be used to help someone else who's going through that same thing. Right? So there's this component of experience that can be a tool for us to minister. And almost like how can I minister to someone suffering in the middle of, you know, persecution in China if I've never experienced any single kind of suffering? Or, I mean, God can still do it, but I guarantee you'll be more of an effective tool for overcoming certain things in your life because you've been there. And there's an authority there now because you can relate. You can connect with that person. Like the testimony that has been put online, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, I'm getting like some emails, just, I'm going through the same thing, or I went through the same thing, or I know someone who's going through the same thing, and you know, your testimony really encouraged me, or I'm sending my testimony to my friend who's going through that. And that's nothing of my own doing. I'm just sharing what God did for me. But it's almost like what you're going through can be used to bless other people who are going through something similar. And so, again, all these tools, whether it be anointing, the anointing you have in your life, the spiritual gifts that you've been given, the experiences you've went through, are all to build up, one, to glorify him, of course. But in that glorification, we're also building up the body, right? We are given these things to build up the body of Christ. Whether if it's evangelism, you're bringing people into the body, right? If it's pastoring or teaching, you're strengthening people's faith. You're building them up in the faith. If you're prophetic, you're speaking God's words to these people to bring encouragement, to bring hope, to help them through these difficult times, right? So these are things that we are called to do because God wants the body of his son, the body of Christ, to be built up in love, to be built up in unity, so that he will be glorified. So as we close, I'm going to do a little bit of just a prayer, like a little bit of like a ministry time. So I felt in preparation for this message of this being built up, of being receiving the tools that God has given us, that there is things that the Lord wants to, one, make us aware of, that we do have a calling, that we do have a purpose, that each and every one of you is important. I am sure that every one of us here, everyone online, has a purpose. There is a reason that God has brought you into the body of Christ. There is something special that you bring that no one else can bring. And God is building you up. God is making you even a more effective minister for his kingdom, for his body. Right? So I'm going to ask everyone to stand as we do a little bit of receiving from the Lord. And as God had asked me in the dream, he asked, do you want the tools? Do you want the tools? And as I responded with my yes, I felt something happen. And I just feel like there's something that the Lord wants to do today in terms of, one, reminding us who we are to him, that you are not accidentally saved. You're not something that, was an afterthought. It's like, oh yeah, why don't you just come into my kingdom? Just come on in. You know, it wasn't, you were very intentionally created. You're very intentionally saved. And there's something that the Lord has for you to do. And if he has it for you to do, he will equip you. He will give you the tools you need. Right? So I'm going to ask everyone to just open your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in the beginning, we talked about how we just exposed the lie that we're not important. We exposed the lie that we are insignificant in God's kingdom. And I just invite everyone right now, as we begin this time of just receiving and being in the presence of the Lord, just to say with your own words, say, I have a purpose. See, I have a calling. I am important to you, God. I'm important to your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you guys right now to just picture the Lord. Picture the Lord looking down on you, just like I did in my, just like what happened in my dream. That the picture of the Lord looking down on you right now and asking you that simple question. That the Lord calls you by name and he's asking, do you want the tools? Do you want the tools? Do you want the tools? And just like I had to say yes, you say yes as well. Say yes to the Lord. If you want the tools, go ahead with your mouth. Just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want the tools. So, Father, for each and every brother, for each and every sister of mine, Lord, in you, Lord, who has said a yes to your tools, said a yes to receive, Lord, what you have for them, God. We thank you, Lord, that you hear that yes, that you honor that yes, and Lord, that you would deposit in them the things that they need, that you would deposit in them the anointing that they need to fulfill that calling, that you would deposit in them the gifts that are necessary to fulfill that calling. And Father, would you give them a perspective even on the experiences in their life? That you can use all of it, Lord. You can use the hard times that they've been through, that maybe they're going through right now. That you can use the good times, Lord, that you've had with them, Lord. that even those who are parents, maybe they're being called to minister to the next generation, and what better way than to learn with their own kids, God. These important lessons, God. Maybe they're being called to speak into the next generation of parents, God. For those that are suffering, maybe you're teaching them perseverance, God. You're teaching them perseverance, Lord, in their suffering to develop a godly character so that they can speak hope into others, God. So they can speak hope into their coworkers. They can speak hope into their family members who are struggling, who have lost hope. They can speak hope to a dying world, God. So God, we right now, Lord, we just honor you. We honor, Lord, one another, God. I thank you for every brother, every sister in Christ. I thank you that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. I thank you, Lord, that you've deposited special gifts in them, God, that we all need, Lord. That we all need, Lord God. So, Lord, we just love you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you're building up your body, Lord, on this earth, so that we will not be blown to the left or to the right by the things of this world, but we will stand firm, Lord God. We will shine brightly, God. We will bring you glory, Lord. And Lord, as we move forward, Lord, as we love and honor one another, God, the world will see that. The world will see the love that we have for one another and know that you are the living God. They will know and be drawn, Lord, to authenticity. They will be drawn to love. They will be drawn to this honor. Oh, you're an amazing God. You're an amazing God. So we thank you, Lord, that you are invested in each and every one of us. That you are also patient, God, that there is no rush. We thank you, Lord, that you work with us, God. You work with where we are in our journey with you. We thank you for the people you placed in our lives to encourage, to champion one another, God. And we thank you, Lord, that is you that's doing it, Lord. That is you that's building up your church. That's you that's giving us the tools, God. Lord, we thank you ultimately for the cross that makes all this possible, Lord. That we can be forgiven from the sin that separates, God. The sin that destroys us, God. You have saved us. You have paid it all. We thank you that you are risen, Lord, that you have overcome death. You've overcome the devil. You've overcome our sins. And we have been given new life, God, new purpose. We have been given a glorious future, God. And we get to play this role in this grand epic that you are creating, God. What an honor. What a blessing. And Lord, at the end of it all, we will be before you. We will be at your feet, Lord, praising you, praising you, praising you for eternity. We will be in your presence, God, where there is no more sickness. There is no more death. There is no more evil. Lord, but we get to be in the presence of our King, the presence of our Lord, the presence of the lover of our souls, God. Oh, we look forward to that day, God. But we thank you, Lord, for the purpose that we have here on this earth, to glorify your name, to bring others into this marvelous salvation, God. So Spirit of God, I ask you to be with us, Lord. As we sing this last song, Lord, we glorify your name, Lord. We acknowledge that all this is for you. All this comes from you. Oh, we love you so much, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.